But once again, each of you has 30 seconds for a rebuttal. We'll begin this time with Mr. Heiner.
Louisville's beginnings over 200 years ago, we began as a river town. That gave us a very diverse culture from day one. We need to celebrate it. It's an advantage in today's global environment. I can tell you when it comes to supporting the small business, growing businesses in Louisville that make up 80% of the jobs, we're not doing a very good job. We had 9 people at a pre-bid meeting last week, only 2 people bid. It's difficult to work for the city. We need to change it so that our small businesses in our community can thrive and grow jobs.
That's your time, thank you. And Mr. Green. Mr. Fisher, I apologize.
Well, the important thing is that we start with a value of a mayor that believes that everybody must win in the community and everybody must thrive. 2 weeks ago, I had a focus group of minority contractors to ask them, what obstacles do you face? And we always find that the answers are here. But during that session, one of the women told me that she received an award as a minority contractor in a project that she didn't even know about. But she was put on there as a sub, as part of the process. That's the type of thing that we need to stop. We need real participation and real requirements so everybody can win.
And now, Mr. Green.
Hal, I would love for you to serve in my cabinet as economic development officer.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you if you accept it. And if you don't, we'll still be friends. Greg, the new economy you referred to, the new economy does not ignore energy. Energy will rule economies in the future. And both of you need to start addressing our energy weaknesses. Join me, please.
Thank you, gentlemen. I do want to take just a moment to point out there are 147,000 deaf or hard of hearing people in our viewing area. Thanks to Norton Hospital for providing closed captioning of this broadcast to everyone so they can learn more about the mayoral candidates. And at this point, we want to give each candidate the opportunity to ask the opponent of their choice a question. Your question should be no longer than 15 seconds, and your opponent will have a minute and a half to respond. Mr. Fisher, your question for an opponent of your choice, please.
All right, this is to my buddy Hal. Hal, we can't find any company that you've been the president of where you've directly employed more than 20 people. The mayor leads a large group of people. What's the largest company and its number of employees that you actually owned and operated as president?
Okay. The company that I've actually owned and operated has been Capstone Realty, and we've built over close to almost 5 million square feet in the last 12 years, and I'm very proud of bringing 4,000 people to Jefferson County. In terms of working for other companies, I was president of the NTS Commercial Properties Group. We had 110 people in that group. We were covering several states from everything from residential properties, multifamily, retail, industrial, light industrial, throughout the Southeast. And it's actually through that experience that I've gotten to see firsthand how other cities approach investment, whether they have a culture that's either welcoming of investment or hindering of investment. And it's through those experiences, watching how those planning and development agencies, permitting, their levels of customer service has given me the plan to how Louisville can again be welcoming of investment. And it's really been through that experience. I was a partial owner of the company, not the primary owner, but I have had direct experience throughout the Southeast and had a large group that pursued it.
But can you tell us what the largest company is that you've owned or been president of and what the maximum number of employees has been there?
Okay. Well, I was president of NTS Commercial Properties Group. I had an ownership interest. I don't know how many people there were in NTS. It was a pretty big company that had offices throughout the Southeast. So I can't give you a specific number. In my group, there were 110 people.
Mr. Green, your question now for an opponent of your choice.
Greg, please explain your support. A farm-destroying development that reduces private investment, public infrastructure, and metro services for all existing neighborhoods.
Well, I'm not sure I understand that question, so.
Do you want me to repeat it?
No, we have a basic difference here in that I believe people are gonna live where they want to live and businesses are gonna locate where they want to locate. So the job of the mayor is to make sure that there's responsible development throughout the community. We can't force people to live in any one spot or businesses to locate in any one spot. And when we do that, we need to balance, or excuse me, when we allow people to live where they want to live, which is the American way, certainly with smart planning and zoning, we want to make sure that the needs of the environment are taken care of, the needs of the neighbors are taken care of. I've been endorsed by the Sierra Club, the environmental groups in this campaign, so I feel like I have a very balanced and realistic view of how a city grows and how it operates.
Thank you. And Mr. Heiner, now your question for an opponent of your choice.
Okay. Greg.
Al.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Al.
A few months ago, you told a group at an arts forum that we both attended that you would support a sales tax increase for the arts. And you also recently told the Courier Journal editorial board that you supported increasing the income tax on Louisvillians for the library tax. Do you still support those taxes?
Hal, you gotta get your facts straight, buddy. I don't know if we were at the same art forum or not, but the question came up was, do you feel like there should be a public option for art? A public option where a developer could give 1% for public art. I said, I don't have a problem with public, with an option. You know, I think this is a country where people live freely, and if they want to have an option for, to do that, they certainly should do that. That does not mean I support increasing taxes. In the Courier Journal, I guess you're referring to the library expansion, which you effectively killed. What I said there was I supported libraries. What I'm for is Louisville being a lifelong learning community. I'm for Louisville being a city of great libraries. We have the bonding capacity to get that done now or in the next couple of years. I've said I'll create libraries in my administration. So I said that I support libraries. That doesn't mean I support taxes. I'm not for increasing taxes. My businesses have been the most lean and efficient in their industries. I was a finalist for the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award, which is the Nobel Prize of Business. I won the USA Today Quality Cup at Cervant. So what I'm known for is cutting waste, having lean organizations. We'll do that with our city as well.
So, Greg, the answer is that you still support an income tax for library tax. And actually, the sales tax question was an increase in the sales tax specifically for the arts.
The people voted on the library tax.
Sorry, our time's up. Thank you. Well, now back to the debate questions. In a city,
we didn't get a rebuttal, Greg and I.
There was one question per opponent, and if there was time left.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's move on. Let's move on to the debate questions. In a city like Louisville, where the Board of Education oversees the public school district, the mayor has to find creative ways to impact education. How would you improve education in Louisville? Mr. Green, you now have the floor for 90 seconds.
Thank you. I would not support the current student assignment plan. We need to be distributing affordable housing all over the community so every community is diverse. Every school then will be diverse and no child will need to be bused. Children need to be going to a school where their parents can actively participate in the education of the child. The child needs to go to a school where they can participate in after-school programs. Kids need to be at schools where the school and the neighborhood are actively engaged one with another. This cannot happen with our current system. Our current system is not serving our educational needs. Look at the data. Our black young men are not graduating. Our kids are not going on to college. We've been trying for 35 years to achieve some objective. We haven't reached it yet. We're not likely to reach it in the next few years by continuing the same process. It is time for us to step back and to attack this problem from a different perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Heiner, your response, please.
You know, I hear all the time when we're going door to door at fairs and festivals, people say, Hal, what are you going to do about jobs? And the next question is, what are you going to do to improve education here in Louisville? And although the mayor doesn't have formal authority to make improvements on education, the mayor is in the best position to pull our community together to make rapid improvement in education, and we need to make rapid improvement. I don't know if you saw the recent scores that came out that compared Jefferson County to the rest of the state in math proficiency, reading proficiency, dropout rates. In every category, Louisville, the city we love with so much potential, we are holding the Kentucky state averages down. We need to do a better job. You know, there's an elementary school in West Louisville that's been a tremendous turnaround story. And they did it by cutting class sizes significantly, by bringing in innovative programs. They've got a pilot. We have a pilot that we can improve failing schools here in Louisville. It's time to be rolled out. It may take more resources from the private sector. It may mean four weeks of half day, as they're doing at J.B. Atkinson, half day summer education, so there isn't regression going into the fall. I do not support the current failed student assignment plan, and there's a better way there as well. And it's the same way the superintendent and his goal, which is to achieve our diversity goals by incentives, not by mandate, and it's time to actually do that. And I hope to be a mayor to be directly involved
Thank
in improving
Time's
education.
Up. Mr. Fisher, you now have the floor.
Thank you. Yeah, the mayor's job is to be the conscience of the community to make sure that the education our kids are getting are as good as anywhere in the world. We're not just competing locally anymore, we're competing with China and India. So whatever the best is, that's what we need to be shooting for. Last week we were together when Kids Count put out their data, and we were basically comparing ourselves to ourselves. That's a Louisville problem. It's not how we're doing year over year, it's how we're doing here compared to what the best in the world is. When we do that, we'll see a big gap, and that's okay. That doesn't mean we don't love our city. It'll probably take our breath away, and that's fine, because we need breakthrough solutions for many of these things. We need some radical change so that we can move more rapidly forward. Secondly, the mayor should be the leader of private-public partnerships. We've got a good example of that right now with the Everyone Reads program. One of the companies I'm a partner at, Dan Clayton, we make stadiums, the new seats in Papa John stadiums that we've made. We are a partner with Guttram Youth Elementary with the Everyone Reads program. I've announced a program called Everyone Knows, where public schools in my administration will go into businesses and train parents and grandparents on how they can be more effective rearing their kids so they really know what the status is of each child. Because turning around our school system is like guerrilla warfare. It's one child at a time. It's not easy. So it's partnerships like Everyone Reads, Everyone Knows, Healthy Minds, putting a nurse in every school that can help make the difference.
And again, you each have a chance for a rebuttal here. 30 seconds each. We begin with Mr. Green.
The Jefferson County Public School transportation dollars need to be used to hire teachers rather than fund transportation. Put those teachers in low-performing schools. Improve that student-teacher ratio. Get the focus on education rather than transportation. That is our challenge.
And Mr. Heiner, your response.
You know, we are not short on ideas in this community on how to improve education. JCTC wants to move into the Portland Marine Hospital and two floors in there to bring education directly into an area that most needs to advance their skills to find a better job. I'll be the kind of mayor that fights for that in Frankfort through an urban coalition that I've talked about. We need to discuss merit pay for the best teachers willing to work in failed schools. And we also need a program that, to the extent we can do it, every high school student earns one credit hour towards college before
Time
graduation.
Is up. Thank you. And Mr. Fisher, 30 seconds for your rebuttal, please.
We've got great entrepreneurs and businesses in the community that want to partner with our schools. Wonderful example at Fern Creek High School, Houston Barber, where he's partnering with the 21st Century Parks in their science class, in our film community where there's arts classes. So a mayor who knows our business community has been part of the entrepreneurial fabric of our community that can develop these public-private partnerships can certainly help a lot move our kids forward in our school system.
Thank you. And moving on to our next question now. Who do you see as Louisville's toughest competition for economic development projects? Would it be Southern Indiana, Oldham or Shelby counties, or cities like Nashville and Indianapolis? Mr. Heiner, we'll start with you.
You know, I look at this question the same way economists look at this question, and that is, we are part of an economic region. As mayor, and as Chief Economic Development Officer, my first goal and highest priority would be to bring jobs to Louisville. But you know, when jobs go to Bullitt County, or when Fort Knox expands with 5,000 families, a lot of those people, a lot of those employees bring their paychecks back into our community that circulates and keeps a lot of other businesses going in Louisville. Our competition, and I hear it over and over from the site consultants, from the businesses, as they bring in their 5, 10, 12 city list on who we compete with, we're competing with in the Midwest with Indianapolis and Columbus and Nashville and Cincinnati and often Memphis. That's our competition. Our first goal is to make sure jobs come into Louisville, Kentucky, but to the extent they go in our economic region, we still benefit. So I see us as one economic region with our surrounding counties, and what we need to compete is to make sure that these jobs are not going to other cities in the Midwest that have outpaced us on job attraction for the past 10 years. We can compete, we have the ingredients, we just need to do it.
Thank you, and Mr. Fisher.
I'm a big believer in regionalism. At the same time, I want to see Jefferson County, Louisville grow as much as possible. So it's interesting when you talk to my friends in the development community, we don't have to talk about Louisville being half the cycle time to get approvals as Charlotte or Raleigh. They say, what about across the river? What about Bullitt County? So we can learn from all of these places, not only nationally, but in our surrounding area as well. That being said, we need one big region where we're all winning together. But let's try to get as many jobs here as we can. In Louisville, that's certainly my job as mayor. I think our biggest competition is ourselves and our willingness to take risk. We have a city of great companies that have started here. As you've heard me say, I think one of our advantages as with a city our size is we should be a great entrepreneurial city. In my company, Servend, when we got beyond the survival stage, we started competing with large multinational companies. We made Dyson beverage dispensing machines that I co-invented. I found in competing against the big guys that as long as we were quicker and more innovative, we'd win every time. So it's taking that type of mindset that we have here. We don't have to worry about other cities to compete with because we have plenty of things to build on here. Our aging care industry, our green jobs, our manufacturing jobs. If we have that type of can-do, build it here, entrepreneurial city, we'll have more jobs than we can shake a stick at for a long time while we keep trying to get people to come and live here and enjoy the great quality of place that we have in Louisville.
Thank you. And Mr. Green, you now have the floor.
If we open Southern Indiana to development by building an East End bridge, Southern Indiana will indeed become a great competitor for jobs, which we need here in Louisville. The Greater Louisville Project Competitive Cities Report told us we need to redefine regionalism. The past patterns of development are not going to work, are not going to serve us in the future. Greg is correct. Quoting Pogo, we have met the enemy, and he is us. But it's not risk or quickness or agility or can do that keeps us back. We are risk takers. We are quick and agile. We can do. It is our failure to take a very clear-eyed view of our weaknesses. Public transit, energy dependencies, our education, and our health. We need to move aggressively on those fronts and on the improvement, again, of our existing neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. Each candidate now has 30 seconds for a rebuttal. We begin with Mr. Heiner.
Again, I think there's the clear difference. I don't see the benefit of learning from Bullitt County or even seeing Bullitt County as the competition for jobs. What I do see and I hear over and over is worked with over 100 companies thinking about either expanding or staying here in Louisville is first the decision is on the economic region that they're going to locate into. And that's the point that we need to make sure we stay on that short list. And the secondary decision.
Sorry, that's our time. You. Let's move to Mr. Fisher now. 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, the job of the mayor of Louisville is to grow Louisville and to grow opportunities here for our people. I believe in regionalism, but I'm the mayor of Louisville, so that's what we do first. There's answers all around the country. Let's remember the importance of benchmarking. A lot of these answers we don't have to find ourselves. We can learn more about venture capital when we go to Austin, Texas, or when we go to Boston. We can learn more about planning and zoning by going to Bullitt County or across the river. But again, we have so many strengths here in Louisville. If we focus on those, we can grow a lot of businesses here.
And Mr. Green, your rebuttal.
I'd like to go back to the discussion of land development patterns. And Greg, it is not about forcing people to live one place or another. The question before us is, do we enable unsustainable development and drain public infrastructure, private investment, and metro services from our existing neighborhoods as simultaneously we destroy our present and future local food economy in the destruction of farms?
I'm sorry, that's our time. Let's move on to our next question. Gentlemen, key city appointees impact the daily operations of businesses of all size. What types of people will you be choosing to fill these positions, and are you committed to a stakeholder process for developing new regulations? Mr. Fisher, we begin with you.
The most important aspect of building any world-class team is to make sure that the values of your leadership team mirror the values of the leader. In my case, that would be everybody is treated with dignity and respect, regardless of what your position is in life. Second is everybody must be fanatical, lifelong learners. The world is changing very rapidly right now, so you can't be stale. You've got to always be understanding what best in class is. Third is you've got to believe in the potential of people so that everybody is involved in coming up with solutions and improving a company, improving a city. This is what I've done in my corporate private life, and we've had great results with our companies being recognized nationally for excellence. So the same model applies to the city as well. Second, I want to talk about an administration that represents the many faces of Louisville, a diverse Louisville, by ethnicity, by color of skin, whatever it might be, because it's important that when we send the messages to all Louisvillians, whether they be a young child or an older person, that they see somebody like them that they can identify with, and they see the heights that they can climb to living in a city that believes in itself. And last, involving all critical aspects in the community, whether it be geographical, whether it be business, whether it be faith-based part of the community, so that together we can identify the best talent that we have here in our city, so that we can recruit those sharp minds to be part of Louisville, to be part of this government that's leading us into the 21st century, so that we create a more diverse, a more exciting, a more growing
Louisville. That's our time. Thank you. And Mr. Green, you now have a minute and a half.
We do need a diverse staff, a diverse administration. Part of diversity is having around you people who are not made up of a choir singing all in unison in the same voice. We need a diversity of opinions, not a room full of yes men and yes women. I will, Greg, ask for your short list. Hal, I'll ask for your short list. I'll go to Jerry and look at his administration and his staff. I will go also to NGOs and ask their input. I'll be going to parties that have been shut out of the room, parties who have not had a voice at the table, asking them for input on administration and staffing demands. We have excellent administration personnel, excellent department heads here in Louisville. In all probability, most of them will stay. I will ask of each of them a letter of resignation, undated, and if they can't follow the vision, the direction that we take, we'll date that resignation. Thank you.
And Mr. Heiner, your response, please.
In the key positions in an organization, we need to have people with a background, private experience background, directly in the area that they will be involved with, understanding the challenges and the trials within that group that they will manage is so important for a quick start. I'm also interested in not just their decision for public service, but to make sure that it's a decision that it's about service to the public. We need to bring in a new level of customer service in this government, the way Rebecca Jackson brought it into the clerk's office. more than a dozen years ago. We also will have new higher goals for this city, and I want to see from them a 110% commitment that they are committed to those goals. We have a lot to do in the next 4 years. And maybe the most important change in this government is to bring about a change in the culture of management, where today, as I see it, it's a very top-down old management style. If you look around at in the business world and now in government, what you're seeing is a management style where the efficiencies are found through employee-driven efforts like Lean Six Sigma that I hope to bring into this government.
And now we have a chance for rebuttal, starting with Mr. Fisher. You have 30 seconds.
The mayor is an executive position. This is the clearest difference between my opponents and I. I've been a leader, a manager, a team builder throughout my career, 15 different companies, international companies. I've been nationally recognized with my teammates on building a great company with the USA Today Quality Cup. So when you take a look at who has the experience to do this, it's me. My opponent talks about teams and Six Sigma like it's something new. It's been in the workplace now for 20 years. Again, I've been nationally recognized for developing excellent businesses around that. I know how to do it from day
one. Thank you. Mr. Green.
In most of these forums, there has been a very significant element missing in the audience. And that group is the group of laborers and the group of the unemployed. Those voices are not heard, and we need those voices to be heard for this discussion forward.
Thank you. And Mr. Heiner, you now have 30 seconds.
We absolutely do need a new culture of management in this government. Many of you may know people that work for this government, whether it's in the police department or the public works department, or pick a department, and ask them to rank morale from 1 to 100 and ask them where it is today, because morale does relate to productivity. And I can tell you I almost never hear a number greater than 30. It's time for a fresh start in this government and not a continuation government.
Well, the bridges have already come up tonight, and now we have a direct question about them. Decades after they were proposed, there are still no new bridges between Louisville and Southern Indiana, and the longer the project takes, the more it's going to cost. What would you do to try to speed up the project, and what do you think is the best way to pay for the bridges? Mr. Green, we'll begin with you.
I've followed these bridges, this project, since 1999. That project, I told the Bridges Authority, by the way, I'm the only candidate that follows those Bridges Authority meetings. I told the Bridges Authority 2 months ago that the project was on the ropes. After listening last month to the Bridges Authority meeting and their report, I decided the project is no longer on the ropes. It's on the mat, and the ref is counting. This project is over. It is unfundable. We have New Albany already having passed a resolution against tolling. Our Metro Council is working on a resolution against tolling. This project is over. The sooner we take the project and put it on the shelf and then reach back and grab another project, the T2 project, Transportation Tomorrow, TARC's study of a world-class public transit system. The sooner we grab that project, take it off the shelf and put it on the table, the better off our community is, and we can make some progress in providing a form of transportation that serves all of our community, every economic group, every neighborhood.
And Mr. Heiner, your response, please.
Now, I graduated from high school in 1969, happened to be the same year that KIPTA, our planning development agency, issued a comprehensive transportation report that talked about the East End Bridge. It said, as a community, we need to build it on an accelerated schedule. Well, it's been 41 years. I have committed that in the first term of my administration, the East End Bridge will be under construction. And the way that's going to happen, what I've seen in government is you can be for all sorts of things, but unless you push, unless you lead, nothing is accomplished. You can be for it, but unless you get out there and work for it, it will not happen, and the East End Bridge will be under construction. I've also talked about my concerns about affordability of this project. And we've heard talk of tolls in the maybe $3 range, $6 round trip, $4 round trip. I'm worried about what that does to our economic region, that it makes us less competitive, that it divides our patrons to the arts and restaurants and our businesses from being able to compete going back and forth across the river. And I think in order to get those tolls down into cents rather than dollars, we're going to have to look at streamlining the downtown project. We need that second bridge. We're hopelessly overloaded. It's a safety problem. We need it, but we need to look at Spaghetti Junction on how we may be able to use a lot of that existing infrastructure to get those tolls down to a point that it's under a dollar. This project needs to be affordable for this community for us to move forward, and that's how I'll do it.
And Mr. Fisher, your response.
Well, first and foremost, the bridges are about jobs. And obviously, that's the number one issue facing our community right now. So the mayor needs to be a strong voice for getting some decisions on the bridges one way or the other. We've got to be able to afford the project, so we can't just blindlessly go forward into the future without understanding how these are going to be paid for. We know that 50% of the traffic on the bridges is just passing through the community. I support the pass-through traffic paying a higher toll. It's not acceptable for our local commuters to be economically disadvantaged across the bridge, so we do need a low toll if we're going to have any tolling at all for our local commuters. And last, we need to make sure that we're getting the information that we need so the public can make a decision about what's going on with the bridges. I've urged the Bridges Authority to be more communicative. What does it look like downtown into Waterfront Park? How have you value engineered the project? What are the facts right now so that we as a community can really understand what's going on? This is a complicated project. Everybody knows that. In today's world, we want to make everything simple. We want everything, but we don't want to pay for anything at the same time, right? Those are competing objectives. So at least let's get the facts on the table so we can make a decision as a community for the best way to move forward. And as mayor, you can push the groups to keep doing this while we make a decision. It's unacceptable that we've been working on this for 41 years now. We need to move forward with a decision one way or another.
And now each of you have a chance for a 30-second rebuttal. Mr. Green, we'll start with you.
Greg and Hal, write this down, please. Short of Obama riding in on a white horse with transportation incentive dollars in his back pocket, this project is over. There are other ways to create jobs rather than building a bridge. Tolls on a new bridge will be a bridge avoided. This is an illusion at this point. We need to let go of the illusion and focus on reality.
Thank you. That's your time. And Mr. Heiner.
Okay. We'll tell you, my opponent and I do differ. This project is not first and foremost about temporary construction jobs, although that's great. And that's anything we can do to build now, that's great. But what it's first and foremost about is about the next 100 years. It's about completing a loop around our city so we can better compete as a regional economy. It's about fixing the problems on our downtown bridges that cause 2-mile backups every morning and every night. What we need to do is we need to get both of these bridges built, but at an affordable price. And that's what I'll do.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, your rebuttal, please.
The bridges are about regional jobs, especially creating the East End Business Park. Hal, that'll go by your 2 million square feet that you have in River Ridge. It'll be a very good situation for you. We need to get the facts here in what the bridges are so we can be creative, we can have solutions, we can move forward.
Thank you. We're going to have a little bit of fun now, get to know the candidates a little bit better. We're moving into the speed round now. We're going to pick up the pace, and in this speed round, each candidate only has 10 seconds to answer the question. They are short and sweet, and your answers have to be too. So let's get going with the speed round. First question, congratulations, you've been elected. What's the first thing you do as mayor upon being sworn in? Mr. Heiner, 10 seconds, go.
Okay, first thing we do is we start an audit and the reformatting of all the books of the city so the people in this community can see exactly where we are and where we're headed.
Great, very quick. And Mr. Fisher, now you have 10 seconds.
Make sure everybody understands our values and beliefs. Everybody's treated with dignity and respect. Our employees, our 7,500 employees, all feel like they got a fresh start to be great participants in a new city.
Thank you. And Mr. Green?
Make sure that the team understands that our focus is on greater energy independence, on the health of our community, on the education of our people. and on neighborhoods.
Time is up. Let's move on to question two. What Louisvillian, living or dead, do you most admire, Mr. Fisher?
Junior Bridgman has done a great job helping us get a national championship, and he's been a great business creator as well.
All righty. Short and sweet. And Mr. Green, your response.
I've got a great neighbor in Tim Darst, a man who lives his beliefs and contributes to his neighborhood and to his community.
Sorry, time's up. Mr. Heiner, 10 seconds.
Okay. For me, it's David Jones Sr., a guy that's built his companies right here in Louisville, grew them here, and at the same time has been involved civically, and now we have the largest park expansion in the country going on thanks to his efforts.
All righty, next question. Name one thing you would do as mayor to improve the quality of life in Louisville so we can attract more young professionals. Mr. Green.
Young professionals want the same thing that business investors want. Great public transit, healthy environment, healthy, well-educated.
It's our time. Thank you. Mr. Heiner, 10 seconds.
Okay. I've announced as part of my platform focus on bringing 2,500 young professional units to downtown. We need a more vibrant downtown, and we need 4th Street filled in with services.
All righty. And Mr. Fisher, you have 10 seconds.
We're a fun place to be. Forecastle, Hullabaloo, World Fest, getting more of that going while we're creating jobs.
Great. Thank you. Keeping it short here. And the next question, how many paid or volunteer women and minority staffers are on your campaign? Mr. Heiner, you're first.
Okay. In our campaign team, we have strived to make sure it reflects this community, and in fact, it does. And shortly, you'll hear a broad range of campaign co-chairs, people actively involved.
Time's up. Thank you. Mr. Fisher, 10 seconds.
We have our 10 paid staff members. Five would be in your category. Of our volunteers, it's probably about two-thirds.
All right. And Mr. Green, 10 seconds.
All of our staff is volunteer. That's an easy one. Of the volunteers, I would think it's about 25 or about 50-50.
I'm sorry, time's up. Next question. Name one department in Metro government you would eliminate or transform. 10 seconds, Mr. Fisher.
We'd have to transform planning and zoning because the community has said they're just moving too slow for them.
Thank you. Mr. Green, your response.
Planning and zoning does need to focus on the core issue. Housing needs to be reformed, as does the animal.
Thank you. Mr. Heiner, 10 seconds, please.
Actually, our Department of Finance, 63 deficiencies. We can't have that in our community. We need to start over with a paperless system and a new culture of openness.
Thank you. Next question. Fill in the blank. Louisville needs to what? Mr. Green.
Louisville needs to face realities.
Mr. Heiner, your response, please.
Louisville needs to be successful, needs to be competitive at job attraction for the best new jobs.
And Mr. Fisher.
Louisville needs to be a can-do entrepreneurial city where we can compete with anybody in the world.
Thank you, gentlemen. And the next question, when was the last time you rode TARC and what was the fare? Mr. Heiner.
We rode it Saturday, took the whole family. We went down to 4th Street Live for dinner. Actually, it was Sunday. Went down to 4th Street Live for dinner. $1.50, 75 cents.
I'm sorry, that's it. Mr. Fisher, your response, please. 10 seconds.
Most importantly, I've been endorsed by the bus drivers in town, the ATU. The fare is $1.50. I went from 2nd Street out to the airport and back the UPS route.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Green, your response.
Thursday and Friday, I rode 7 different buses. 6 of the 7 were standing room only. Don't believe the line, nobody rides the bus.
I do want to let you know here, the correct answer to this question is $1.50 to ride TARC. And now we'll move on to question number 8. What section of town most needs revitalization, Mr. Fisher?
I call them marooned communities. West Louisville, Newburgh, where the type of investment that takes place in other parts of town is not taking place. We've got a great culture and bones that we can build on in those areas.
Thank you. Mr. Green.
California, Russell, pick the neighborhoods. Any of your western, most of your western Louisville neighborhoods are in dire straits.
Time's up. Thank you. Mr. Heiner, 10 seconds.
Well, from a housing standpoint, we certainly have a crisis with over 7,000 abandoned homes in many of those in West Louisville. We need a program to address that. Other cities have done it. We can do it too.
All right, next question. You can build one new library. Where do you put it? Mr. Green, we'll start with you.
I understand the South End needs one.
Mr. Heiner, your response. 10 seconds, please.
Okay. The first new library will be Southwest. I've already announced that in Southwest Regional Library. We're paying a big rent payment now, and we're going to use that rent payment for operating expenses so it doesn't increase the cost to this government.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, 10 seconds.
I agree on the Southwest. We pay $200,000 a year in rent. Let's put that toward our own place.
Thank you. Fun question to round things out today. Get to know a little bit more about your personalities. It's your day off as mayor. How do you spend your day, Mr. Heiner?
Okay. Well, this Sunday was going down to 4th Street Live for dinner, but typically it's more outside. Kayaking on Floyd's Fork is a favorite for our family.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, 10 seconds.
Anything with my family. My wife and I have raised 4 kids. I love my kids like nothing else and my wife, and I know that sounds corny, but it's true.
Thank you. Mr. Green, your response.
Gardening with my wife and daughter. I will not be seeking a TV show appearance, though.
Thank you. And that wraps up our speed round today. Tonight, I want to once again thank our friends at Norton Hospital for providing real-time closed captioning of this broadcast so that everyone in our community can learn from tonight's debate. And before we wrap up, however, I do want to give each candidate 2 minutes for closing remarks. And Mr. Fisher, you will wrap up first, and thank you for sticking with the times, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you all very much. Thank you for your time today. As I said earlier, my wife Alex and I have raised our 4 kids here in Louisville. We love this city. We love the city very much, just like I know my opponents do. But my opponent Hal and I, who've been good friends, you can tell throughout this debate, have 2 very different worldviews. I think it's been clearly stated today that Hal represents kind of the old way of doing business. I represent the new way of doing business with actual job creation in many different industries. My opponent's been an insider on the Metro Council now for nearly 8 years, and he's been the voice of no time and time again. Let's just look at his voting record. It's incumbent upon me to say we are different. Hal has said no to the STAR clean air program that now many people see as a model throughout the country. He said no to fairness, our anti-discrimination ordinance. He said no to the widely accepted smoking ban, which we all know now improves our personal health. I could go on and on, but I only have a minute left. The role of a leader, folks, is to build a consensus in a team to move our city forward. That's what I've done throughout my life. We need a mayor with a can-do spirit, an entrepreneurial mayor, a mayor who, with all of your all's help and everybody throughout Louisville, can make our city one of the best in the country. I'm the candidate who can put our city back to work, who's actually created jobs, who'll put our neighborhoods first, who has the coalition to get things done now. And I'll also be transparent and open. The biggest issue is facing our jobs. The biggest issue facing our city is jobs. I go to sleep thinking about jobs. I wake up thinking about jobs. And yes, I did wake up my wife at 2:00 in the morning the other day shouting, jobs, jobs, jobs. I have a plan for putting our city back to work, from making Louisville the global leader for corporate headquarters in the aging care space to manufacturing energy efficient appliances. You can see more about my plan at gregfisher.com, and I humbly ask for your vote.
And Mr. Green, you now have 2 minutes for your closing remarks.
I am Jackie Green, independent mayoral candidate, uniting Democrats and Republicans. If you're looking for someone who is not an insider, as both of these gentlemen are, you need look no further. In November, Louisville, again, is not electing a chief economic development officer, not electing a policymaker, not electing a financial manager, or a city administrator. We have that talent here in Louisville. That's not what you ask of the mayor. The mayor's role is to provide vision and direction and to see that the rest of the team follows that direction. One does not support existing neighborhoods by taking public infrastructure, private investment, and metro services and sending them farther and farther away from the core of our city, and in doing so, destroying farms. We need to address that issue. We need to address our lack of a public transit system, for the good of our local economy, we need to liberate ourselves from the deep dependencies that we have on petroleum and on coal. We also need to focus on the education. We need to stop the student assignment plan and focus on educational measures that will improve education and diversity in a deeper manner than simply having kids sitting next to each other who are of different races. Louisville needs bold new leadership. I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Mr. Heiner, you have 2 minutes for your closing remarks.
You know, Louisville has the richest history of any city in the Midwest. You know, from our founding 200 years ago to the growth of our wonderful park system, the Olmsted Park system, to David Jones's 21st Century Park, now adding 4,000 acres in our community. We just have wonderful amenities in this community. We have an arts community that ranks in the top 13 in the country. What a great place to live in Louisville, and when people move here, they usually stay here for a lifetime. You know, in 2003, we started this new merged government. It has so much potential to move this community forward at a faster pace that I got so excited I ran for Metro Council, and I've served there for 8 years. You know, in 4,000 votes, I have said no a few times. I've said no to new taxes on the people in Louisville. We're already the fifth highest tax city in the country. We increase taxes anymore. How will we ever grow jobs in this community? I said no when we talked about the Cordish expenditures without accountability, without them requiring to be put in any of Maryland's money in those projects, 100% of Louisville money. Yes, I did say no to that kind of spending in this government. You know, there is a big difference between myself and my opponent, a very clear difference the voters will have on November 2nd. And I ask you, does experience matter in the mayor's office? Does having been through 8 budgets and seeing the city up close, from the police department to the parks department to the fire department to the ambulance department, seeing what works well and what needs major improvement now, does that matter in the next mayor? Well, I've had that experience. I've been in leadership all of these 8 years. I even ran 8 years ago on open, honest, accountable government. Now I'm running for mayor to make those improvements in our city a reality. I see this as a pivot point for Louisville. And with the right selection, I just know Louisville can move forward at a much faster pace. And I ask for your support November 2nd.
That's our time. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking part in this mayoral debate. Your answers and questions will help voters make an informed decision when they head to the polls in less than 2 months now. Thank you to Greater Louisville, Inc., the African American Business Alliance, the National Association of Women Business Owners, Louisville Chapter, and the Hispanic Latino Business Council for hosting this debate. Thanks to our audience here and to those of you watching from home tonight. I'm Elizabeth Woolsey with Fox 41 News. Good night.